Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yatshalom. We're now in Masechet Yom Tov, otherwise known as Masechet Beitzah, Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph. And as promised, we're going to go back to Mishnah Dalet, which was included on Lamed Zayin, before going ahead with the Gemara. The Mishnah says, HaShoel Kli Michavero, again, involving ourselves with exploring the nature of the Tchum of different items. HaShoel Kli Michavero Mirav Yom Tov, if you borrow a tool from somebody, or a vessel, before Yom Tov, Keragle HaShoel, it follows the borrower's Tchum, B'Yom Tov Keragle HaMashil, if you borrowed on Yom Tov, it belongs to the Tchum of the lender. Ha'isha Shishal HaMechavertat Tevalin Umayim Umelach Le'isata, if a woman borrowed spices or water or salt in order to add into her dough, Le'isata Re'ilu Keragle Shtehen, then it takes on the Tchum of both, which means it's limited by only the overlapping tchum of both of them. Rehuda poter b'mayim neisha ein behen mamash. Rehuda disagrees and says water is insignificant and will not be reckoned for that. Okay, now back in the Gemara, Amalad Chenamot Aleph, Shol Kol Mechavera of Yom Tov Pshit, that should be obvious that if you borrowed it before Yom Tov, it follows the borrower. Lo tzricha shalom asor lo lo b'yom Tov. It's talking about a case where you only took possession on Yom Tov. I might think that it's not really in your reshut before Yom Tov started, and therefore follows the tchum of the lender, Kamash Malan, that since you did the transaction, the request, on Erev Yom Tov, it's in your reshut. We saw this memra already in the previous podcast, so this supports Rabbi Yochanan. So on the Mishnah it said if you borrow it on Yom Tov itself, it takes the tchum of the lender. So that's also obvious. So it could be a case where it's somebody that you regularly borrow from. It could be that the lender already knows you're going to come and borrow it, and therefore he already reckons it in your reshut. His thinking may be that since you didn't come to him Erev Yom Tov, you found someone else to borrow from, and therefore he does not reckon it to be taken by you, and therefore in your reshut, and therefore it still follows his tchum. Okay, v'chein ha'isha she'shalah michaverta. So the end of our Mishnah talked about a woman borrowing components for her dough. Kisalik Rabbi Abba Amar. So when Rabbi Abba made aliyah, he said, I hope that I will say something in the Beit Midrash which will be acceptable. So you can see he was looking for recognition and acceptance. He found these three chachamim. According to another version, Rabbi Abbahu, Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha. Either way, these are three chachamim in the Galil. And they said, Amai, they asked the question about a Mishnah. The water and the salt and perhaps even the spices should be batel to the dough, and the only thing the consideration should be the woman whose flour it was. Amar lehu Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba, in order to make his impact, said, if a person has one kav of his own wheat mixed in with 10 kabin of somebody else, should the other fellow be able to eat all 11 and rejoice? Meaning, he's not mevatel his kav to the other 10, to the 10 kavim of the other guy, he's going to want his payment, which means in the same way, it's still considered as being significant. They laughed at him, so it didn't work. Amar lehu, kul taichu shakli, what, did I take your clothes from you? Why are you laughing at me? Hadu achichu alei, they laughed at that too. They were right to laugh at him. In other words, his challenge, his defense of the halacha was not strong. Why didn't he bring a case of somebody's wheat getting mixed in with somebody else's barley? Because that's min b'sheinu because it is batel. The reality is, if your chitin get mixed in with somebody else's, and therefore really it is batel. So Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra says Moshe, he's taking an oath by Moshe's name. Shapir Kamart. All right, is your defense of their ridicule really appropriate? You don't know the statement in Rav's name. If you go to somebody else's goren and you do him what you think is a favor by taking the pebbles out of his grain that's there, you have to pay him for the grain that you took out. Alma kila chasrei. So you see that the very fact that something is missing, hacharami kila chasrei. In other words, you can't compare the two cases of taking mammon from somebody else, and when it comes to Yisurim mixing them together. Their question is still a strong question. And when it comes to the status of Yisurim, a small amount is batel to a large amount. When it comes to mamonot, the person is not automatically mevatel their amount, even though it got mixed into somebody else's. So Amrle Abaye. So now the conversation is taking place in Bavel. But don't you distinguish between a claim where somebody really is going to claim something like chitin that they want back or their one kav, as opposed to one where there is no tovin because this person lent the water or the salt to this woman? So Marle v'litameh chadam rav chista nevela b'teila b'shkuta. If you have nevelot and they fall in with shkutot, we say they're batel because a shkuta never could become a nevela once you shechted it properly. Shkuta inavetela b'nevela, but the universe doesn't work if you shechshal nevela shteasa shkuta. It's an animal that's alive has a chazak of a nevela until you kill it. You become a shkuta. Chinami dechi le'ba'alim. Lo batla. So here, if it has owners, it's not batel. In other words, you're claiming that bitul is dependent on there being somebody claiming their rights to the small portion. Those things which are hefker also are kone shvita. Wherever they start off on Shabbat, that's their spot, even though they have no owners. So domin kishishnaim ba'alim, we consider it as if they have owners. So in other words, this issue of ownership is not the critical piece. So amar le'mikam adamit yisur le'mamon, and that's the real issue here. Rabbi Abba's defense of saying that the water and the salt still are significant is based on the idea that a person would claim their portion, even though it was small relative to the larger amount, so it still has a standing. But that's true in Mamon, not in Isur. Isura batel, Mamon lo batel. Very simple. The time am I, what's the reason? I buy Amar. So now what really is the reason? Because once the question now has been substantiated, and his challenge, where he tried to make a name for himself, really was defeated. The reason that the water and salt still have standing. I buy Amar, Gzeva Shemata se Isa v'shutafut. Because we're concerned that she may go ahead and actually make a dough with another woman as a partner, and not realize that the dough then takes on the only the common tchum. Rava has a different explanation. Tfalin tama avidi, tama avidi, tama lovato. When it comes to spices, spices are there for taste, and taste is certainly not batel. Ravashi amar mishum nahavili davar sheish tomatirin. Comes up with the simplest answer. You want the water or the salt or the spices to become batel. After all, it's davar sheish tomatirin, because after Yom Tov there is no tchum issue. We never are mevatel in the context of Isurim of batel, something which is davar sheish tomatirin, which later on will be mutar. Okay, and the Mishnah said Rehuda poter b'mayim because his mayim is insignificant. Mayim in melach lo. What do you think? Salt is significant. Both water and salt are negligible and not considered, whether in the dough or whether in the pot. And a cooked item. So lo kasha, ha melach stomit, ha melach Easter konit. If it's melach stomit, a big thick melach, then it's not batel, but regular salt is. Atanu yuro meir may melach batilin b'isav in batilin b'kteira neirotva. But here we have another version. Rabbi Yehuda says that both water and salt are batel in the dough, but not batel in the kteira because of the liquids that are there. So lo kasha, ha melva ha baracha. If it's a big, thick dough, then the water is dried out. Then the water is negligible. If it's a soft one, then the water is not negligible because it plays a visible role. Okay, the next Mishnah. Hagachelet kiragleha be'alim. Coals take on the tchum of the owner. V'shalhevet b'chol makom. A flame doesn't have a tchum. Whoever it is, it is. Gachelet shel hektesh. And we're going to see two other distinctions between coals and a fire. Gachelet shel hektesh malimba. There's me'ila to coal, attaches to coals of hektesh. Shel hevet lo nenim v'lo malin. A flame has no me'ila. You're not allowed to get hanor from a flame of hektesh, but there is no me'ila. Hamotzi gachelet l'shut habim. The final distinction is, if you pick up coals and take them out l'shut habim on Shabbat chayav, shel hevet patur, flame, you're patur. Okay, Tanur Rabanan. There's five things. So there are three plus two more. That's one. That's two. And then they add in Gachelet shel avodah zara, coals of avodah zara, asura v'shel havet muteret. The flame of avodah zara is mutar. Hamotzi gachelet l'shut habim chayav v'shel havet patur, that we had in our Mishnah. And the fifth one is hamudar hana'a michaviro. If you take a neder not to get an offer from somebody, you're not allowed to get hanar from his coals, but you are from his flame. So now, parenthetically, why do we say that lachatchila you could get benefit from the flame of avodah zarah? Why do we say with hektesh lachatchila lo nehenin, even though there is no me'ila? In other words, all of these halachot are consistent except for hektesh, where lachatchila we gave shalhevet a standing. The answer is avodah zarah de'mi'isa v'dili inshimine. People avoid avodah zarah; it's disgusting to them. And therefore, lo gozer rabbanon. Rabbanon didn't have to make gzera. Hektesh to lo mo'is v'lo v'dili inshimine. But hektesh is not disgusting. People do not avoid it naturally. Therefore, gozer rabbanon, and they made a gzera lechatchila of no hana'an. Okay, hamotzi gachelet l'rishut rabim chayav shel hevet patur. We said in the Mishnah that if you carry coals out to rishut rabim, you are chayav on Shabbat, but if you carry a flame out, you are patur. The Hatanya, we have a brayta that says, "Motzi shel hevet shekol shu chayav." In Shabbat, if you carry a flame out with of any size, you're chayav. Yeah, let's talk about where you took the flame out on a stick. So you're chayav for the stick. So then you're chayav for the stick, not for the flame. The answer is, but a late le shiur, the stick has no shiur. But there is substance to it, and so therefore the shear of a flame is any size, and you're not chayav for it because it has some substance, which is the stick. Now, we see from this Mishnah that there is a minimal shear for sticks, for wood, and this is smaller than it. Said perhaps you took a kli and you put oil on it, and then you inflamed it, and you carried the kli out. So you're chayav for the kli. A little piece of pottery. For that too, but lately, sure, again, it's less than a shiur. There's a minimal shiur for cheres, for Yehuda. So when are you really patur for carrying a shalhevet out? That's if you actually took the shalhevet and just threw it straight out to Rishut Rabim, flicked the flame out, and without it being attached to anything of substance. So it's going to be a chiddush here, we say, that if you have any size of a flame and it's attached to anything of substance, even if that item of substance is less than a shear of its own kind, you're still a chayav for carrying the shalhevet. Okay, we'll pause this point and pick it up with our final podcast on Masechet Yom Tov. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.